I'm Alberto Salvato. Welcome to Crime Time, a Virginia criminal law podcast. I'm here with Anna Dvorak, Anthony Norse, and Ann Thayer. Enjoy the show.
So here it is, legal disclaimer, because we are lawyers and we've got to write one. So if you are listening to this podcast, thank you. We sincerely hope you are listening to this podcast for its entertainment value and not with the intention of acquiring legal advice for any individual case or situation. I mean, come on, you wouldn't take advice from someone you have never met or spoken to directly, right? If you were bleeding profusely, you wouldn't listen to a podcast in hopes of a bandage somehow materializing over the internet and onto your 3D printer. Seeking actual legal advice can be just as important as a tourniquet. The hosts of this podcast are in no way intending to create an attorney-client relationship with any listener. Sorry, we are sure you all are great people, but we cannot stress enough how little we know of you and your case. And rather than risk an awkward moment, let us just remember we have never met. Nothing on this platform should be taken as legal advice for any individual case or situation. We are just a group of friends with differing opinions and viewpoints, which we will try to explore through discussions of current events, law changes, and whatever else floats our
fancy. Hello. Welcome to episode 2. Are high times rolling into Virginia? We're all Willie Nelson fans, at least I think the four of us for the most part. And he honestly is a legend amongst marijuana smokers and music lovers as well. He is the only one who has actually smoked, well, confirmed to have smoked on the roof of the White House with one of the president's sons. I know that was way back in Carter, but that's just absolutely awesome. And it got us to thinking about all the how we've come, like as far as the marijuana changes and in the law, especially in Virginia. And one of the things Anna brought out or pointed out to us was an incident that involved a tour bus. And we thought that it'd be kind of fun to get into that story and see how the new changes in the marijuana law in Virginia, laws in Virginia would actually affect that that case scenario. Anna, do you remember that case? We were talking about that before.
Well, Willie Nelson has been arrested on several occasions for possession of marijuana, but several years ago, he was about 85 miles east of El Paso, and he was stopped at a routine checkpoint in his tour bus. And the officers who were at the tour at the checkpoint noticed a suspicious odor, perhaps of marijuana, coming from that bus, and decided to search it. And when they searched it, they turned up 6 ounces of marijuana, which Mr. Nelson immediately claimed was his. Mr. Nelson, Willie, as we like to call him, was arrested with two other of his companions and was held briefly in jail, actually, and had to pay a cash bond of $2,500 to be released. And in that case, he was facing up to 180 days in the county jail for possession of those 6 ounces of marijuana.
And which state was that in?
That was in the state of Texas.
So way different than in Virginia. Say, let's go back in time, like maybe about three years. And if somebody is arrested in Virginia and they possess 6 ounces and they're in a tour bus with multiple other people, and the officer asks that person and says, "Hey, you got 6 ounces of weed here. Are you sharing it with people? Are you guys all smoking? Who's providing it for the other friends in there?" What would they possibly be looking at in Virginia as far as criminal charges?
Well, the officer could charge distribution if they can deem some facts there that aren't just personal use. Then the officer could have charged either felonies or misdemeanors, depending on the amounts. But right now in Virginia, we've come a little bit away from that, because we started out with a first time possession would be up to 30 days jail and a fine of $500, or up to $500 and a loss of your license. And then second or third offenses, you started to get worse penalties. And then last year in July, the legislature decided to decriminalize marijuana and have made it a civil fine of $25. That's what it is. And then come March 1st of this year in 2021, they've made additional changes.
I see Anthony over there hopping.
Well, I think what Ann said is very important. They decriminalize it, and that is different from legalizing it, because in Virginia, the possession of marijuana is still unlawful, even though it's been decriminalized. And decriminalized just means it's now a civil offense as opposed to a criminal offense.
One of the things that Alberto was bringing up to Anne, and Anne mentioned briefly, was depending on what information was elicited from these officers' questions, for 6 ounces of marijuana, you could have a variety of charges, such as felonies. In Virginia, an ounce of marijuana, if you're in possession of that, and there are facts that suggest that you were distributing that to somebody, that can be supportive of a felony offense. And 6 ounces are clearly far more than pounds. And the decriminalization of marijuana has not changed that fact, that it's still illegal, it is still criminal to distribute or possess with the intent to distribute more than an ounce of marijuana.
And even less than 1 ounce is still, if you're distributing even less than 1 ounce, is still a misdemeanor. So it's still illegal. You may not be facing the felony.
Right. So it's still illegal to distribute. However, with the decriminalization, one thing that changed was that there's now a presumption. If you are possessing less than 1 ounce, there's a presumption that it's for personal use that can be overcome still by the government, but they have lowered the bar quite a bit as far as the distribution goes with the 1 ounce limit.
Distribution, the only other charge that you could get if an officer is stopping you and you have marijuana? Or do you guys think there's other charges right now that you could get?
Like if you have a regular routine traffic stop and they actually find weed inside the car, yeah. I think they could give you the civil possession unless the person who got stopped says something that's going to incriminate him. Say there's weed there and he says, I bought this weed and I gave it to my friend. I think arguably a police officer could then say, well, that's distribution, even though it's a small amount. And that could present a problem because it's decriminalized, but the possession is, but you still cannot sell it or distribute or give in any way to anybody else.
Yeah, but you also could still get a DUI if you're impaired and having used marijuana. You could have immigration issues. It's not legal on federal properties. So though Virginia has decriminalized it, the federal government has not. And if they chose to prosecute you on something like that, they could do so. You could get a drunk in public. It falls under there. It can affect clearances, work permits. Like a lot of people in this area in the Northern Virginia where we all practice are on government contracts. They have clearances. They need to be able to get on different military or either military bases or other government facilities. And that can really impact things for you. So it's, even though Virginia has decriminalized it, it's not safe for everybody. And the only legal way you guys can possess it is if you go get a medical waiver that is a prescription and allows you to have it.
And another important fact, just to follow up on what Anne was saying, is that the decriminalization still doesn't apply to juveniles. They still have a problem if they're possessing it.
And one other interesting aspect of decriminalization, that bill was somewhat modified after July 1 to stop a law enforcement officer from searching a vehicle based solely on the odor of marijuana. And what was really interesting about that is that not only could you not search the vehicle based on the odor of marijuana, but if the officers did, that evidence could be suppressed completely, and it cannot be used against you at trial. But what's interesting is in that same in the next subsection down, in that same code section, is that it says the search law does not apply in an airport, and it doesn't apply for a commercial motor vehicle. So if there is an odor of marijuana coming from your big rig, your dump truck, any of these commercial vehicles that you're driving, the search and seizure law does not apply.
Let me ask you this hypothetical. I love hypotheticals. And imagine, I'm winging it, so forgive me if I ramble on. But police officer is doing a standard speed trap, and he sees this car, and it's driving, and it looks like Cheech and Chong because it's got smoke coming out the windows. And you're like, oh, the cop's like, oh man, I can't pull them over for that. However, what if the police officer then says, I'm going to follow that car, and that car does some other traffic infraction that gives them the authority to, or the reasonable articulable suspicion to pull them over, gets to the window. And part of that the reason for the stop says, well, it could be just a traffic infraction or the way he's driving, he could be under the influence. Will that give him probable cause to do a further search or investigatory search on this guy to see if he's under the influence and get a DWI?
So the way the law is written, it says that he may not lawfully stop search or seize any person, place, or thing solely on the basis of the odor of marijuana. So if there's another reason for the stop, the search, or the seizure, then I think the officer is going to be okay, especially with a DWI or DUI. If there is reasonable suspicion to investigate that and at least a probable cause for the arrest, I think that at that point, they have a different reason for searching the vehicle.
I just picture now police officers going up to a car and asking, have you been smoking weed tonight? And of course, a person shouldn't say anything, but they should deny. And the officer just pulls out like a nice donut, like a powdered donut. And you just see this driver who has the munchies just can't resist. And the officer's like, well, just tell me what you did. If you smoked weed, I'll give you this donut. And all of a sudden, the guy says, yeah, that's mine. Just give me the damn thing. But anyway.
That sounds an awful lot like entrapment.
It would sound like entrapment. But you know, officers just walk around with pizzas and Taco Bell. And they're like, they pull over. It's like, listen, all you got to do is tell me the truth. If you want this Taco Bell, I'll give it to you. Did you smoke weed tonight? And they're like, yeah, I'm high as a kite. That's probable cause right there to arrest him for a DUI. That's just my thought. Yeah.
Well, one thing that I've been noticing is that people think that with decriminalization, that it means legalization, which clearly is not, but that you can operate motor vehicles while smoking. And that search and seizure law might affect, as we've always just said, like, searching if there's just marijuana or if a passenger smoking, you can't search the car for that reason. But people have to understand that you can still be caught for, as Ann said, for driving under the influence. And decriminalizing marijuana is not just a free for all to smoke and drive. But I think the law is confusing to people, and they should really understand that it is very unclear what they can do, but they will never be allowed to drive under the influence. And that law won't ever change.
Yeah, and you may not be allowed to be stopped by the police or arrested or anything like that for odor, but if they come upon you and you guys have been smoking and you've got a blunt or you have a smoking device or something that's right there in the car, like, paraphernalia is still illegal. Possession of paraphernalia is still illegal in Virginia. And that could give the police officer cause to get you out and investigate and things of that nature. So the smell is not going to do it, that Virginia has done away with that. But it doesn't mean if there's other evidence that they can't do it.
In the Willie Nelson case, you have the odor of marijuana that they talk about allowed them to search the tour bus. But if that would only be the case in Virginia now, if the driver themselves was smoking and there was any other reason to believe, as Ann said, there are paraphernalia or other things that were not that they could see in plain view that would be a reason to search the vehicle. But these laws are narrowly tailored to deal with the situation where you have people transporting certain amounts of marijuana and not using it improperly. And we talked a lot about DUI drugs and DUI marijuana. And one of some of the defenses that we've used when faced with a DUI drug case.
Well, one is that you haven't smoked. I mean, there's officers that will suspect you of being under the influence of something, and your blood or your breath comes back and shows that you don't have illegal substances in you. So that's one thing. Sometimes officers just plain get it wrong. They decide that's what you're doing. They find things in their investigation, having you do tests and watching your behavior and the statements that you make that supports the basis for them to make the arrest. And then they get those blood results back and guess what? There's nothing in there. So that's a big point right there.
And even if they do have, go ahead, Tony.
I was going to say the same thing you're about to say, that even if there is something in the blood, there's no presumptive level for the THC right now under Virginia code.
And I think the experts, whenever the doctors come in to testify, they sometimes testify as to the possibility of recent smoking, but that in itself doesn't necessarily mean that at the time you were driving that you were under the influence of the marijuana.
Well, it's all about that active metabolite. So if you are somebody that smokes all the time or you smoke a lot, you're going to be in a much better position and not as impaired as someone who doesn't smoke as much or who had a lot more than what they would normally smoke. And so the experts, all they can do is try to attribute your behavior and what's showing in your blood and try to make guesses as to how that is impairing you. But there's no, it's not the same as the per se laws for alcohol, where if you're a 0.08 or higher, there's a permissible inference that you're driving under the influence of alcohol. So it's something that you're really taking a risk on if you do use marijuana and get behind the wheel.
There is one defense that
is absolutely right, though. It's just a guess by the experts without any kind of background information about the individual. There's no way they're going to be able to correlate your behavior to any level of impairment from the marijuana.
Which brings us to our point we always give you guys.
Don't say anything.
Don't talk.
Well, I tried one defense because you do have to have it's got to be a voluntary intoxication. You have to knowingly smoke the weed or whatever drug that you're being accused of driving under the influence with. And I had argued that somebody, I saw it done. I'm not going to necessarily say it was my defense, but I saw this case hypothetically where a girl said that the passengers were smoking inside the car and the windows were closed and the car was filled up with smoke and she had a contact high. A doctor actually testified in court saying that you can't get a contact high and that it's been studies have shown that even inside a car with everything sealed up, unless you are smoking from that apparatus, whatever you're using, you're not going to get high. I think that's completely BS.
Which brings us to a good point about probation. Like a lot of people are on probation and you have certain terms and conditions. And with these changes in Virginia law or other states like Maryland and DC, neighboring Virginia, what do you guys think about how judges are going to treat people on probation that may use marijuana or test positive for it?
Well, I think the probation officers can set rules of probation and the judge is going to honor whatever the probation officer sets as the rules. And if there's a violation of the rules, I think there's going to be a problem.
Yeah, more importantly, if you're on probation, you better do everything in your power not to piss off a judge or else you're going to be at the mercy of the judge again. And that's just something you don't want to do. If you can't stop smoking for a little while,
Well, I'll give you guys an example. I had a gentleman, I think a year or so ago, that was bipolar. He was using marijuana to self-medicate, and probation was trying to violate him, even though I had gotten him to go get a medical waiver and he had the prescription for it. Probation was saying, since the judge didn't authorize it specifically, they were going to violate him. And when they did, the judge determined, no, he's got a valid medical waiver. I'm not going to step in the place of what a doctor has ordered for him. And the judge allowed him to have his medication, which was the marijuana prescription that he had. And he's been doing really well ever since. So it really comes down to the judge and the probation officer and knowing like how those courts are going to operate.
But Anna, can you add, you've had a lot more experience with mental health dockets and stuff like that. I think there's a big difference between someone who's using it for medication, legal possession, being on probation, smoking it, and someone who chooses to smoke because it's just been decriminalized, or maybe in the state where they live, it's not illegal at all, but you're still on probation in Virginia.
And I can say that the judges, as we've all said, can set rules. And now, certainly they can set rules like don't drink alcohol. Alcohol is a legal substance. And the person that they set rules on may not even have a problem with alcohol, and that's not even part of the charge, but that's just one of probation rules is that you don't drink alcohol on probation. And the same could go with marijuana, which would be legal in the state that, people commit crimes in Virginia who live in other states and states where marijuana is legal. And judges have seen this happen, have set rules in probation that have said, okay, he lives in this state. I know that's legal there, but I'm still going to say he can't use marijuana because, that's what got him into the nest in the first place. Judges will look at someone's history and figure out what they think will help them rehabilitate on probation. It's very important if you are going to be in a situation where you're going to be convicted of any crime, to be working with your attorney and to be straightforward with your attorney about any substance issues you might have that could be an issue for you on probation. Because your attorney can help either guide you or to even ask the judge, especially if there's a prescription, to allow for those exceptions. Generally, recreational, if all the person wants to do is use it recreationally and they don't understand why they should be restricted by the court, the whole point of probation is to be a bit of a restriction and a punishment. the judges will say
it's an alternative to jail. So your liberty is being restricted one way or the other, but it's just not the ultimate restriction and being incarcerated.
And theoretically, probation shouldn't be the alternative to jail. It's really supposed to be a rehabilitation program, but it has been historically really looked at that way by many of our judges, that they'll say, you know, probation is a privilege, not a right. And you could have
they suspend the jail time if you don't follow all their conditions. So I'm sure Anthony's had many cases where they say, different conditions that I think I saw a judge one time order someone to report on one day of the year for the next 10 years. It was the anniversary of the crime that person committed. And it was a strange condition, but like Anna was saying, maybe it's for you know, rehabilitation, but still the judges can do anything they want as far as a condition. Well, to some extent, but they can be creative.
The jail time is
what's hanging over their head.
And I've seen judges who have ordered drug tests on the spot in the courtroom if they think that there's something going on, and the probation officer has to come in holding a cup and tell the judge, here's what I was just informed by this cup here.
Yeah, so Tony and I were just in court a couple weeks ago and saw that the judge didn't want to give a restricted license for a DUI that involved marijuana, and he didn't like the look of the person before him, which was pretty shocking. Well, but they say he sent them out to go get a drug test, and probation officer comes back in and is holding it up and going, well, and you
held
know,
up the,
and
held up the cup with
held
urine
it up
in it.
Right in the courtroom.
He did.
Did the judge say you're in trouble anyway?
No, so. But he told the probation officer, you don't need to keep that sample.
I hope they washed their hands.
Which brings us to what if you don't like the decision a judge makes?
It depends on what level. I mean, it depends on what level you're on. If you have appeal rights in GDC, but if you're in circuit court, I mean, you're really.
But if you appeal to general district court or juvenile domestic relations court up to circuit, what happens? Are you in front of a judge again?
Are you talking about a straight possession now after it's been decriminalized?
Yeah.
Civil penalty, yeah.
Yeah.
But Tony, do you know do you have an option for a jury trial or?
You do. So for the civil penalty, it is treated the same way as a misdemeanor. So you have a right to appeal to the circuit court. You can elect either to have a judge trial or a jury trial, and the burden of proof is still the same. So even though it's a civil offense, it still needs to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt.
And do you know if the Commonwealth attorney would get involved in any jurisdiction? I know in Fairfax, they probably would not get involved right now, the way things are. But since it's civil in nature, do you know if in Prince William or Leesburg, if they would do it?
Yeah, the statute still allows, it says the Commonwealth may get involved. So they still can do that. And the other thing with this kind of offense is even though they've decriminalized it and it's a civil infraction, it used to go on your record. Even if you did a first offender program to have it dismissed, it would show charged and dismissed. But now it's not going on a criminal record. It's not reported to VSIN or NCIC. And it's also the only way it's going to be reported to anybody is if you're in a commercial vehicle, then they're required to report it to the Department of Motor Vehicles. So DMV is going to have that on there because they CDL drivers have, certain restrictions and certain conditions that they have to meet in order to maintain their CDL.
And I think we've been talking a little bit about sort of the court system. And for those not that familiar with our court system, because they've been lucky enough not to be part of it, the general district court is where we have misdemeanors prosecuted or we start felony cases. And if you have a misdemeanor marijuana, a distribution case, it's a misdemeanor, it's under 0.5 ounce. Or if you have a civil infraction that we've just been talking about and decriminalized, that's where it starts. And of course, for juveniles, as we said, that would be considered a delinquent act, and it is not decriminalized for juveniles. But all of those actions, if you have a bad result in those courts, you have the opportunity for a de novo trial, which means to do it all over again in circuit court. And so that's one of the interesting parts of Virginia's system is that you kind of have two shots of the apple. And you can do your best to fix your case or just get a better outcome. And sometimes that's a good option for you. But that's how our court system works. And when we talk about the Commonwealth, we're talking about our prosecutors. And Alberto made the point that some jurisdictions are just not being involved and that they have a lot of work to do. And civil infractions are something that they're not involved in. And if you need a civil infraction
to go away completely. Sometimes courts aren't willing to do that, and you need to have a prosecutor involved to say that this, to say that the civil infraction is not going to be prosecuted. And that's going to be jurisdiction by jurisdiction. But there's a lot here, and even the civil infraction can affect your life. And it's really important that as long as marijuana is illegal in the federal system and in federal places and in airports, that you to protect your future, that you do speak to a lawyer, even for a brief consultation, to make sure you're going to protect yourself, even if you get what seems like a really small ticket.
We'll be tracking the law too, because Virginia's going to try to make marijuana legal, but we're not there yet. And I think they're looking at how to tax it, and there's different policies that they have to put in place. So we'll be keeping everyone informed if the law does change down the road. But right now you can only do it with a medical waiver.
And frankly, I don't think anybody's going to see a jury trial on a civil infraction for quite some time because of COVID. They are setting trials in Fairfax County. I think I set a trial for September 2022 for a jury trial, that is. So when they get to the civil cases on a marijuana, maybe, who knows, maybe Virginia will pass a law legalizing it. And that's, I'm not saying that jokingly. I think it's actually a possibility that it could happen, that you have a pending case. So perhaps if you lose a civil possession of marijuana, you may want to note the appeal and pray a jury. And that case will probably be lingering for a long time. And who knows what will happen. So that's just something to consider. You may want to talk to your own attorney for that. Not take my word as an attorney-client relationship, but anyhow, you might want to reach out.
This has been a really great conversation tonight. Do you guys have any final parting words as we finish up tonight?
Well, I would just say what you guys have been saying, even though it's a civil infraction, if you are found to have violated the civil charge, there can be some ramifications, because even though the record is by and large sealed and not reported to CCRE, there are exceptions to that. Just like with any law, there are exceptions. So this could still affect you in a negative way.
Anna, anything you'd like to add?
Just be careful in places that aren't being dealt with by state police and by county police. And if they're people get lost at the Pentagon property all the time, that's a federal installation and they're not required to follow Virginia law. Places like that, the airport, those are not places that I would want to be in possession of marijuana until it is legal in the federal system. So you should be cautious when you're in possession of marijuana in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
My advice is not to flaunt it. There's a lot of people who aren't on board with this. And if you give any law enforcement officer or any neighbor who dislikes you a reason to call the cops, you're just bringing attention to yourself. And look, no matter what, any interaction could lead to something negative, and I just would not flaunt it. There's no problem to do it on your own in the privacy and your, just don't do it in public. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to tell you what's right, what's healthy, what's not healthy. Just be careful. Well,
the tip I want to give is for the juveniles out there, all the stuff we're talking about right now in terms of decriminalization does not apply to you. You are in a completely different situation. It is still considered a delinquent act. You can still find yourself in court or going through diversion with the probation office. So you guys don't get to be like Willie and roll them up and smoke them till you die, like Willie's song, until you're 18 years old. I'm sorry, but you guys are in a different boat unless Virginia changes the law.
Didn't Willie say we should smoke him and we should roll him up when he dies and smoke him?
Yeah, roll me up and smoke me when he dies. Yeah,
that's good. I like that.
I wanted to interpret what Alberto said before about being cautious. He wants to make sure that everybody knows that marijuana is still unlawful in Virginia. That it's not, whether you're in your own home or not, it's unlawful. But we do think there's going to be changes. They just haven't happened yet.
Yeah, just don't think. I don't want people to think, oh, it's just a $25 civil penalty. I don't care. Listen, any interaction just could lead to something that you don't want to deal with. And just be smart. I mean, for Pete's sake, be smart.
Right, well, I think it's high time we ended tonight, and we'll see you guys next time.
I'm going to roll with it. All right.
Take care.
Thanks for joining us on Crime Time. Please join us again for our next episode.